Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how can Muslims defend the institution of marriage in secular societies?
Marriage is one of the oldest practices known to mankind. Islam considers that the best of people are those who get married. Marriage provides enhanced opportunities to live a stable life, to refrain from unfavorable actions, to raise good children, and to spread love and education. Secular societies have gradually eroded the importance of marriage, and this has been the subject of much controversy in recent times. This week's Islam and Life asks, how can Muslims defend the institution of marriage in secular societies?
Yes, as it has been said, and if we think about our Islamic tradition, marriage is central and important. There is one Islamic tradition saying that it's half of your faith. And this is where, as Muslims, we have to understand the very necessity, the importance, and how we can protect this institution, and how we can protect this very important social relationship before God within a society. Yet if you look at figures and you look at what is happening today in the Western societies, and by the way, not only the Western societies, it's also in Muslim majority countries, the institution of marriage is now undermined by many, many problems. And if we are talking about integration of Muslims in secular society, this is where, in fact, it seems to be relying on figures that this is where they are the more integrated, by seeing the institution of marriage being disintegrated by the numbers of divorces, and the situation is quite worrying. At the same time, we also have a problem understanding the meaning of marriage, how we have to be to deal with it, how we have to think about it within the Muslim community, within the society. These are critical questions. We can't just keep on repeating how important marriage is in Islam while looking at the practicalities, while looking at the situations on the ground, and try to find the right answers to very specific challenges that we are facing and questions that we have to address. And to answer all these questions, I am joined by my guest, Islamic scholar and lecturer, Sheikh Ahmed Hanif. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come to the foundation. We are talking about marriage in Islam, and we know how much and how important it is within the Islamic tradition. And in fact, it might be that our answer to the challenges should start with understanding the necessity and the foundation. Because very often say, yes, it's important. We don't understand why it's so important. So let me ask you this first. What is this institution within the Islamic tradition, the Islamic legal tradition, and why is it so important?
Well, I think first of all, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think first of all, marriage is, as we say in sociology, or the family being the foundation of society, and the foundation of the family is marriage. And we are talking about males and females coming together and reproducing, really basically biologically reproducing society. And out of that reproduction, there is a special connection between the parents and that child, and the need of that child for the love and care of parents in order for that child to develop. So you have this basic universal reality that has been manifested all over the world. Then you have also the family, which again is based upon marriage, as the means of transmitting culture and values, beliefs, and so forth. And this is involved in the both the relationship of husband and wife and their training of the children in order to bring them up as positive contributing members in society. Then you have the metaphysical reality of marriage. And this metaphysical reality of marriage is talking about a number of things. One of them is in the sense of all of reality. All of reality is divided up as manifestations of the names of Allah, okay? And the two basic aspects of the names of Allah, where all the names are subsumed under, are the names of Allah as the Majestic, Jalil, or the names of Allah as Beautiful, Jamil, and or Zahir and Batin, the outward and the inward, you see? And we could generally describe these as the masculine names of Allah and the feminine names of Allah, in the sense of one set of names reflect God in His majesty, in His rigor, in His strength and His power and His justice and so forth. And the other one is God as forgiver, as the beloved, as the subtle, as the tender, and so forth.
So this is something which is important, because the two first points that you were mentioning, you have many people in the West and secular society said, yes, we have all this without marriage. We don't need this because we have a family without marriage. We can be a man and a woman, a male and a male, together have children, and it works. And we can give love and we can again give tenderness. The most important point from an Islamic viewpoint is the last one.
Is the metaphysical aspect.
Metaphysical aspect, relying the institution of marriage with the tawheed, with the oneness of God and the way we are trying to come close to Him. So
exactly.
This is where there is something missing in our understanding as Muslims.
Right.
Why marriage in spiritual, metaphysical terms is so important. So how would you bring this within the discussion when you face what we are facing in secular society, saying, that's not the point. Why do we have to go towards an institution? By the way, in Islam, it's a contract. The marriage is a contract. It's
right.
not a sacrament. It's not something which is like in the Christian tradition, something which is a sacrament with God. It's something which is based on a contract. So why do we have, as Muslims, and how can we just come back to what you are mentioning as the last point, which is the most important one when it comes to our relationship to God? Mm.
Well, I don't think Western societies are that so far away from metaphysical awareness that they cannot be recalled to it.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, there's a very interesting book that I think your readers, probably your viewers, could access, and this is called the Tao of Islam, the Tao of Islam by Sachika Murata, you know, and it's a very interesting way she mentions this book, the Tao of Islam, because Tao belongs to a different religious tradition,
yes.
but Taoism actually sees all of reality as between the yin and the yang, all of reality, and this is reflected in the Islamic metaphysics in terms of the Jalal and Jamal, the Batin and the Zahir, you see, and you know, you find, again, this metaphysical reality being represented in the Christian faith as well, you see, because Adam and Eve, you know, the Adam before Eve in Islam and in Christianity was the ultimate androgyne, you know, both male and female characteristics or qualities, I would rather say, in one being until Eve is separated from him and is a separate manifestation of the feminine pole of Adam's existence, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, you'd find that people in Western societies accepting yin and yang when it comes to kung fu and yoga and these types of things, you know, because they are functional, you know, criteria, you see? And I don't think it is difficult for the Muslims to help get them to make the other leap, you see, towards applying this within the context of marriage itself, you know. I think one of the biggest problems that the loss of this metaphysical sensitivity in the West has led to is that it has led to such a wide definition of marriage that it no longer falls under the name a definition, because a definition is supposed to exclude certain things and keep things only within its orbit that characterize it. Mm. If you say any social union that would have children involved or not children involved is a marriage, then...
So this is why it's important to recall and to make it clear what we are talking about. When it is said in the Islamic tradition, it's half of your faith, meaning this is what you need as a male, your needs as a female are going to be achieved. You will have a complete understanding of a being with another being before God, which is the very essence of what you are doing. If you don't get this, marriage could be anything. So this is the disintegration even of the definition itself,
exactly,
before, of the institution afterwards. So
exactly.
This is the point. Let me come now to the problems that we are facing, because all this in the Islamic tradition is something which is very deep, and we all, you cannot just meet with a Muslim man or woman knowing a bit about his or her religion without understanding the marriage is so important. Now, we are facing problems everywhere, but maybe more in secular societies where the definition is very wide, when the institutions is not very much respected. What are the main challenges you see Muslims facing in the West today in secular society when it comes to marriage?
I think, by and large, I think one of the biggest problems with Muslims that Muslims have, and it's very similar to people in non-Muslim society, is people are losing touch with what it means to be male and what it means to be female.
So before even marriage is the definition of male and female.
Yes, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Because marriage is basically a union of polarities, you know? Mm-hmm. And in this union of polarities, each individual finds a completion. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're coming from the primordial androgyne, separated into Adam and Eve, male and female, okay? And what are we trying to do is we are trying to get back to the perfection of the primordial androgyne. Mm-hmm. In the case of marriage, the man interacts with the female on her terms, you know? The female interacts with the man on his terms, you know? And so in a certain sense, we develop or find the man finds the feminine in himself, the tenderness in himself. Mm. For example, the love and the romance in himself. The woman finds the aggression in herself, you know, the self-assertion in herself, and so on. You know, so it's a kind of a completion. Mm. What you find in modern secular society is more or less a movement towards a kind of quantitative, artificial equality. That there is no difference between men and women apart from biological accident. And so the society tends to now be, you know, be organized to sort of reflect that. And this has led to a sort of, you know, disruption in people's understanding of themselves. The problem with Muslims is that Muslims, unfortunately, also tend to define Islam in terms of the dominant culture. So you hear Muslims defining Islam as being, for example, I don't know, more scientific than Western science, more democratic than Western democracy, and also more equal than Western equality, you see? And
so the parameter becomes the dominant culture and society and not the Islamic reference themselves.
And you made a very good point. This is something that is happening also in the Muslim world.
Yeah.
You know, I was in one Muslim country, I wouldn't call names, you know, where you had this religious charitable organization that had many, many, many industrial projects going, right? And one of the, we were visiting as a, like, you know, people from America and Canada and so on. And one of the administrators, one of the executives was proud to say that they established a factory in a part of the country, in a city, where it had endemic unemployment, and they put up this factory to only hire women. And I asked the question, well, okay, so you have a lot of employed women and a lot of unemployed men. What does that do with respect to creating a kind of a harmony in a society? There are so many men who are not very happy about being not the breadwinner in a house, you see? And so this is a sort of like an example of how Western ideas, or modern ideas, I would rather say, tend to be influencing Muslim thinking.
Yeah, so it's very important, because in fact, what you are saying now will have an impact on the kind of answers and solutions we can find from within the Muslim community relying on the Islamic scriptures. Because what you are saying even about before even talking about marriage, we need to talk about beings and understanding what a female and what a male is. We are in a society where today we have trends saying these are all social constructs. There is no male, there is no female. It's only coming from culture and social dynamics. So this is, even in the textbooks, we have to reconsider relying on biology. We have to come to the social construct. Now let us come to all these problems. And what you are saying is that sometimes we take the dominant culture as the parameter of our answers. What should be the answer for Muslims to protect the institution of marriage in these modern secular societies? Just to be able to not only celebrate marriage in theory, but experiencing in practice.
I think Muslims need to revisit their bodies of teaching and see them within the context of the society in which we live as an alternative, really. Because it is clear that this point of view, it's not working, you know.
So in practical terms, what does it mean?
In practical terms, it means looking at dominant ideas and criticizing them, critiquing them from Islamic parameters, you know? And I don't think we need to fear about this, you know? We will come out on top, you see? I think also we need to show, you know, part of it is just in displaying harmonious marriages, you know? And this is where, for example, mosques and Islamic centers play a very, very important role to help people to understand themselves and their mutual responsibilities to each other within the Islamic context in for marriage to work. I mean, me, myself, for example, I'm a convert to Islam. And one of the things that I found very, very attractive to me in Islam was the stability, the relative stability. I'm not saying Muslims that don't have you know, rampant divorce problems. But when you look at it, you know, still, you know, Muslim marriages tend to be quite more stable, much more stable than general secular type marriages, you know?
But unfortunately, things are moving now and changing,
Things are changing, and things are changing because I think Muslims are losing control over their command of their own teachings, you see? They are becoming more and more dominated by that non-Muslim paradigm.
So what is missing in this teaching that we have to come back to in order to help the Muslims to face those challenges?
Well, I think what is missing especially is the metaphysical understanding of the teachings. If you read many books that are written about marriage, they speak about marriage purely on a social level, purely on a family level, purely on the level of rights. I'm not saying that these are not good.
Rights and duties.
And so forth. Yeah. They don't go beyond that, okay? But I think when we start thinking about the question of who is a man, who is a woman, what is man, what is woman, how do they figure within the divine scheme of things, you know, then you would people understand their role. And this is something that goes across the board, across many religions. You know, if you look at, for example, Chinese Taoism, you know, they talk about heaven and earth, the marriage between heaven and earth. Heaven is male, earth is female. Between
it's
them
all
is
about
rain.
The metaphysical symbol of couple. The couple as something which is a
exactly.
Center.
You know what I mean? And it is in this context, you know, in terms of this universal metaphysics, you know, that people could find themselves.
Yes, but with all this, but this is very important, I agree with you, but with this, you're not going to solve the problems on the ground when people are saying, how can I do with my within the society now? We have divorces within our community. So in practical terms, if you have to stress on, I don't know, one, two, or three things that have to be done in order to improve the situation.
An educational program, an educational program, the guidance of those individuals who are knowledgeable in this understanding, you know, I think coupled with some good old-fashioned family interventionist principles,
such as
you know, family counseling and so on. I mean, you can't just throw this out of the window. There are certain important principles involved. You know, for example, when you're dealing with a family conflict, you don't deal with one side. You know, one person comes in to talk to you, you know, you say, no, I want to see you and your husband or you and your wife, you know, where we can deal with this together. Things like this are very important, listening, problem solving and so forth.
And all the Islamic ethical values are important when we speak about patience, when we speak about listening. These are things that, you know, it's not I love you one day and then. No, it's a journey.
Exactly.
The journey is based on the jihad. In fact, a marriage is a jihad of the soul, a jihad of the... And this is something that we have also to come as a teaching, which is missing today.
Exactly. So, and hierarchy. Okay. Marriage has hierarchy.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean?
For example, the husband is the head of the family. Mm-hmm. He's the imam of the home. Mm-hmm. Okay. The wife obeys the husband. Mm-hmm. Okay. But in Islam, tells you, a husband should not use this power for ill means and for oppressive means. Huh? And naturally speaking, women hate to go with a man who they can dominate.
Okay, thank you for that. I think that the discussion, it's important, and what you said at the beginning of our discussion, it's important, is that we need to come to understand what marriage is and the metaphysical side of it when we speak about the couple and the symbol of who is a male and who is a female, and in which way this is working within the Islamic tradition. The second point which is important is, for Muslims, the parameter should be the Islamic teachings and not the dominant culture trying to cope with it, to try to catch up and say, okay, we are as democratic, as open, as egalitarian.
Right.
And the point is important. The third thing that it's important is education for Muslims and understanding that at the end also have to contribute to the society by coming with the right answers to deep question about what is the meaning of a marriage, what is the meaning of educating, and in which way this relationship should be kept and nurtured from within. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here's the way to contact us.
We at Islam and Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program, so get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam and Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. Thank you so much for being
with
us and
welcome.
For your insight.
My pleasure.
And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.